Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much for reading. So, to be an imitator of God, I want to talk to you today about this important subject, but I want to just start by saying being an imitator of God is not about just copying superficial behaviours, okay? I just wanted to make that point before we... It's not about just copying clapping, although that's a good illustration. So, Ephesians, there's a fantastic golden thread that runs throughout Ephesians. And that golden thread is a golden thread of grace. Okay? Golden thread of grace. And if we look at grace, as we know, is God's unmerited favor towards us, isn't it? He loves us and he expresses that in kindness and grace and mercy towards us, even though we don't deserve it. So grace means that there's nothing we can do that can possibly make God love us anymore. And there's nothing that we can do that will make God love us any less. God just loves us, okay? And he's showered us and lavished us with his grace. So if we look at Ephesians, we see that Paul, the writer, starts with the bigger picture of God. And then he talks about the church. And then he talks about our individual conduct. And the thing that links all of those things is grace. And we're going to just explore that a little bit this morning. So God's bigger picture, he's the God of grace. And he has lavished his grace upon us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he wants us to live that reality as a church. So there's the bigger picture of God's eternal purpose to glorify himself as the God of all grace in Christ Jesus. There's the second level, which is, okay, now we're in the church age. We need to live that out in the reality of who we are and how we live with each other. And that leads us then on to the third level, which is our own individual conduct. So what does that actually mean in terms of how we relate to one another? So this golden thread runs throughout Ephesians, and we're just going to unpack it just very briefly right now. We haven't got time to go through all lots of verses, so I'm just going to kind of summarize for us. We've just got a few minutes this morning. So God's bigger purpose, the ultimate purpose, is that he wants to bring everything in heaven and earth in unity under Christ. And he's done that. He's chosen us and blessed us by giving us the sacrifice of Christ, a gift of grace. It's by grace that you have been saved, we read in Ephesians. And this gospel of grace is to the praise of God as a gracious and loving God. And he wants us to live that out in the body of Christ. We've been brought together, and he wants us to build one another up, to live out that love and that grace with one another in how we live as the body of Christ. And in this church age, he wants the church to manifest his grace to the heavens and to the earth. And that's the exciting commission that God has for us. In the church right now, he wants us to manifest to all the demons and the rulers and everything in this world that he is a gracious God. So to do that, he wants us to live as the body of Christ. To live one another in unity as the body of Christ. And it's through that that we demonstrate that God is a gracious God in how we live with one another. And so we get to our passage, and it brings us right down, doesn't it, to that level of, well, what does that mean in what does all this mean in terms of our individual conduct? So in verse 25, we read, "Put off falsehood and speak truthfully with one another." We're encouraged to speak words that build one another up. Just as I was hanging around at the start of the service, several people just came along and encouraged me. "Haven't seen you for a while, great to see you," you know, and just words of encouragement. And words of encouragement are powerful, aren't they? Words of discouragement are probably even more powerful in terms of destroying. But words of encouragement bring life and strength and hope. Verse 32, we're called to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. So we're called to be people who show grace. People who show grace to one another. Preferring to choose to love one another, even though we don't deserve it. And then moving beyond that, preferring to love and express generosity and kindness and mercy to those who are not in the church, even though they don't deserve it. That's grace. So God has called us to be a people of grace, living in a community of grace. And God calls us to be compassionate to one another. And in verse 32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And it's those two words that I want to just focus on for a moment, "just as," because they occur twice in our passage. And they point us to a new standard of love, a different standard of love. The second place where those two words occur is, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Actually, do you mind if I bring this up here? Visually challenged. So that's much better. Okay. So the standard for loving one another is not just to love your neighbor as yourself. If you remember, Jesus gave us a different standard. And when he said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So the standard of our love for one another is God's gracious sacrifice of Christ to us, and Christ's gracious sacrifice of himself to save us. It's the love that is marked by grace. Choosing to bless and love and forgive, even though the receiver didn't deserve it. Okay, so it costs the giver everything, but it costs the receiver nothing. And that has to be the mark of our love for one another. Love expressed through grace, that unconditional love. Preferring to bless and forgive and help and show mercy and kindness and goodness, even though the other person doesn't deserve it. That is the love that we're called to do, to give. So the quality of our grace expressed in love is the defining feature of what we are as a church. And it's really the watermark, the benchmark in terms of how mature we are as Christians and as a fellowship, as the body of Christ. But our imitation of God is not just a superficial copying of behaviors or style or church styles. We need to receive the grace that God has for us before we can be people who give grace to others. We need to be people who have received that grace and experienced God's forgiveness and God's love and God's care and God's mercy before we can give that to other people. So it's not about copying examples of behaviors. It's about receiving. It's all by grace. It's about receiving from God what he's done for us so that we are equipped fully to give that to other people. So I want to encourage us this morning to be renewed in our sense of receiving God's grace and renewed in our sense of people who give God's grace in the way that we relate to one another and to the outside world. It's about receiving and giving, and it's all by grace. So, to be renewed in our sense of God's grace towards us. In Romans we read, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And of course, I'm sure we all know the hymn, the old John Newton hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And it's good for us to meditate. You know, the more you think about what Christ has done, the more incredible and real it becomes in our hearts that he has, by his grace, he has taken away our sin. He's taken away everything that divides us from our relationship with God. And he's restored us completely. And whatever there is in our lives, mistakes or struggles or sin, things that we've done, hurts, wounds, we can receive God's grace afresh to be renewed and to be healed and to be restored. And when we're in that condition, we're then able to give grace to others. Yeah, freely receive and freely give. So let's be renewed in our sense of God's grace for us. His incredible, amazing grace. He's lavished upon us his unmerited favor in Christ. And secondly, let's be renewed in our sense of what God's love and grace looks like through us towards others. Not to feel condemned or that we've fallen short of this, but just to be to receive it and be renewed in it so that we can give it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And the defining feature of that love is that that is all given even though we don't deserve it. Yeah, and that is the measure of God's grace towards us. And when we receive God's grace, then we can be people who live out that love towards others as well. So we're called to be people of grace, living out the example of Jesus' grace as a community of grace. Church should be a community of grace. And grace is the one thing that we can offer each other and offer the world that the world can't offer. Yeah? The grace of God. So at the start we said grace means that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing that we can do. We can't earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. And there's nothing more we can do to earn God's grace. Nothing more that we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing that we can do to make God love us less. So in this context, in our church context, grace should mean that there is nothing that your church neighbor can do to make you love them more. And there's nothing your church neighbor can do to make you love them less. So grace is the sticky glue that holds us as a network together. It means that our bonds are unbreakable. Our bonds with Christ are unbreakable. And it's grace that runs through all of this. Yeah. God's amazing grace in Christ. And God wanting us to live out and show to the world that grace and to glorify Him by being a people of grace, living in a community of grace. And we can only do that by grace, by drawing on God, by receiving from Him, and then giving that out. So it's not a superficial behavioral thing. It's a deep receiving and giving. And that's how we can be imitators of God.